Well, I'm glad we can still preach. And it kind of looks like the rapture happened, but it didn't. They're online today. And I guess the coronavirus must be real because we can see it here. Everybody's gone. You know, in these days when we don't know what we can trust, what we can't trust, we can trust this. We can go to the book, and it is trustworthy. So our message title this morning is, Who is in control anyway? Have you ever wondered when in such times as we are right now, who is in control anyway? Does God control the coronavirus? Did he send it? And if so, why do we spend effort on controlling it? Or is man in control? Is God sovereign in the world and everything that happens has been pre-planned by him? Has he predestined everything? Is God sovereign? And if so, what does that mean? Is he fully in control? Does he move us around like pawns? Or is he partly in control? And maybe man partly in control? If so, of what is God in control? And to what extent? Or has God possibly lost control? Who is in control anyway? Well, I want to talk about three great areas: God's sovereignty, God's control, and God's omniscience. Let's consider God's sovereignty. What does the statement that God is sovereign mean? Most of us would probably say God is sovereign. But whether he is or not depends on what one means by sovereignty. You see, we don't all have the same thing in mind when we talk about God's sovereignty. It may interest you to know that the Bible never mentions God's sovereignty. So we must begin by asking, just what does the word sovereign mean? Well, a king or queen is a sovereign person. They are royalty, and as such, they are the head of some country. That means in their country, there is no one over them. When we speak of a sovereign state or country, that means it is a country that has no other country over them. In that sense, God is sovereign over all of creation. There is no one over him. He is supreme ruler. So he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But God's sovereignty does not mean he controls all things. Sovereignty and control are two different things. A king or queen is sovereign over the area under their control. That is, they reign over the country or countries they have taken, or that is theirs by succession. But that does not mean the king or queen or sovereign country controls all that their subjects do. A country that has a sovereign head does not have control over those who disobey their laws, of which every country has plenty. They cannot control all things. Some countries try to control their people entirely, even as to what they may believe or may not believe. But even in those countries, or maybe especially in those countries, there are those who do that which is contrary to the laws of the land. All sovereign countries have this problem. But a sovereign has the authority with all those that disobey the laws of the land if they can catch them. God is sovereign over all of mankind, but he is not in control over all of mankind. If God determines and controls what everybody does, then he is also responsible for all sin. Think that through. That is unthinkable, but God does keep a record of all wrongs. And as the sovereign over the universe, someday he will resurrect all those who have died, and he will judge them out of the books he has kept. That is what a sovereign has both the right and the authority to do. However, any good sovereign will give freedom to their subjects in many things. The subjects of a good sovereign have the right to own their own property. On this property, they are allowed to do many things that they choose to do, and they can do them of their own free will. The ruler may even encourage their subjects to consider choosing to do various things. Productive subjects means a productive sovereign. Sovereignty does not mean they make everyone do what they want them to do. Dictators who try that are not able to control all their people all the time. Kim Jong-un can't do it. He never will do it. Nor will anybody else. It is interesting that the Bible never uses the word sovereign of God. But we do find God as judge and being in authority over all mankind. Genesis 18:25 says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth," anybody know the rest? "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the answer is, of course, he will. At creation, God endowed man with an amazing capacity. It is that of free will. Without free will, man could not do the most important thing God made man for, which is to bring glory to him. I can't take time to explain this, but it is important beyond almost all other biblical truths. Listen, no free will, no glory. No glory. Any objective person should be able to think that through. This free will is clearly indicated in Genesis 1:26-28. God commanded man to be fruitful and multiply, and several other commands. A good God cannot command man to do something he did not create man with the capacity to do. That is self-evident to any thinking person. And when you have a command, now you also have the possibility of disobedience. I just didn't have time to put everything into this message. All you have to do is study the verbs, the moods of verbs. The command is the weakest of them all. God later commanded man not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but man disobeyed. He did so of his own free will. God could not stop him. Listen, God could not stop him. God could not stop him without destroying his free will. Sin is disobedience by choice. Does God control all things man does? Absolutely not. We'll look at that later. Does God have authority over everything man does? Absolutely. He has authority both to reward and to punish. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. You see, to be sovereign does not mean to control. It gives the one who is sovereign the authority to deal with those who do not submit to the laws set out. In light of that, when the time of God's testing of mankind is over, here is what will happen according to Revelation 20, 12 through 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades were delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I wonder if I could get some water. To conclude this point, we need to understand that to be sovereign does not mean to control. It gives the one who is sovereign the authority to deal with those who do not submit to the laws set out. However, any good sovereign, and God is a good sovereign, will give freedom to their people in many things. In the Garden of Eden, there was only one thing. Listen to this. Only one thing man was not supposed to do. Everything else he was allowed to do. It's incredible when you think it through. And any good sovereign will want their people to choose to do many things and be productive and useful to the country. So is God sovereign? Yes. What does that mean? It means he has authority over all of mankind. It does not mean he has made man in such a way that man does exactly what he wishes. It does not mean he has control over all mankind does, as we will see. It does not mean some are predestined to hell and some are predestined or the most. It doesn't mean most are predestined to hell and some to heaven. So our message title is, Who is in Control Anyway? What I have said so far means that sovereignty does not mean control, and that is an error many Christians make. By sovereignty, some mean that God has predestined some to be saved and most to be lost, and there is nothing anybody can do to change that. If someone is one of the elect, he or she will be saved. If not, he or she will be damned. That teaching is unbiblical and ungodly. But the truth is, sovereignty has nothing to do with determining what will and what won't be done. So we ask, just what is God in control of? Well, we first ask, just what does the word control mean? Check the dictionaries and you will find many opinions, or it may be used in various ways. What I mean by control as a noun is the ability to make that happen which one wants to happen. To control as a verb is to make that happen which I want to happen. So I might say, I have control over my appetite. That means my appetite says, more, please. And I say, no, you've had enough. And it's had enough. I'm in control. We just visited the man who was my boss at Bible school years ago. He reminded me of something that happened in our family. We had gotten a cassette tape for our children. It was called Self Control. One of our daughters, who was small at the time, was over at the neighbors visiting their little girl. And our daughter said, we have self-control. Have you got self-control? And the little girl thought, and she said, oh, no, we have remote control. How would you like that? Remote control over the appetite. So control, in my definition, means one can make that happen which one wants to happen. When you can't, you're not in control. For example, in a vehicle, you have various controls. By these controls, we can make the vehicle do what we want it to do. Now, according to that definition, let me ask, does God control all of mankind? Answer, very simple. No, he does not. As a matter of fact, he controls very few. Does he make everything happen in mankind he wants to happen? Listen to these words of 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does God want to happen? Well, that everybody should come to repentance. That is dealing with sin and getting saved. But how often does God get what he wants? Very, very seldom. Why not? Why doesn't he get what he wants? Why? He can't. He can't. But you know, there are some things God can't do. God can't lie. And he can't do this either. Why not? Because he made man with a free will. God wants man to glorify him, and that can only happen if man chooses to do what God wants him to do. I trust that in this time we're in, some are going to submit themselves under God's authority and begin to do what he wants them to do. Then he will be in control. So does God let man get away with sin? Yes, for a time. Why? Because he gave man a free will. Will God forever let man get away with sin? No. He is sovereign and thus in authority, and someday he will reckon with everyone. He is able to do that because he has the authority to do so. He is sovereign. Earlier we saw that God made man with a free will. After God created man, he commanded man to be fruitful and multiply, and he gave several other commands. A good God cannot command man to do something he did not create him with the capacity to do. And when you have a command, now you also have the possibility of disobedience. God later commanded man not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but man disobeyed. He did so of his own free will. Could God not have controlled what Adam and Eve did? No. No. He could not. Why not? Because he would have destroyed man's free will and his own purpose for making him. We don't have time to look at it now, but God gave Adam and Eve the choice to be saved, and they did so. And in this way, as long as they chose to live for God, they brought glory to God. The greatest thing any lost person can do is repent of their sins and live a life of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what glorifies God. So we ask, does God control any people? Yes. But consider now that there are two ways of controlling people. One can control some people by sheer force of power. Many have tried to control certain Christians by persecuting them. They would do things like poke red-hot irons through their bodies, or stretch them on the rack, or pull off their fingernails, or put hot irons to the bottom of their feet, and many other things. That's an effort to control by force. The second way of controlling people is that you can teach people the truth and give them the choice to follow. Recently in our Bible study, we discussed the role of a pastor. The name pastor means, what does it mean again?
Shepherd.
A shepherd teaches his sheep to follow. And when the sheep learn to trust the shepherd, they gladly follow. We compared that to the cowboy who drives his herd by sheer force. And how does God control people? Psalm 23, the Lord is my... Yes. God's method of calling people is not control by force, but control by free will. God will have no other person than one who chooses to follow him. The apostle said in Ephesians 5:18, Paul, that is, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When one is drunk, the spirits in the drink control what one does. We call it being under the influence, yes. They're under the influence. People who are drunk do things they would never do when they are sober. The problem? They are filled with something that controls them. But Paul says the believer is to be filled with the Spirit. What is that? Well, we submit ourselves to God and we read the Word of God and we walk in His ways and the Spirit takes control. But He never forces, He woos. You know, the Holy Spirit is pictured by the dove. That's worth a lot of study. So Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The true believer submits himself to God and follows him. Now God is in control over this person's life. God will only receive worship if it comes from a free will. That is the only thing that will glorify him. So does God control all people? No. He is in control of only a very small percentage of mankind. I think he may gain some out of this coronavirus. That's what we can pray for. Who controls the rest? All the rest? Satan. Everyone who's not saved. There are only two masters. Jesus said of many religious Jews, you are of your father the devil, John 8:44. But that brings us now to the subject at hand. Does God control nature? Does he control epidemics and viruses and earthquakes, etc.? Before we look at that, let me say that there is a view among Christians and also the secular world that says that all things have been pre-programmed or predetermined and man does not have a free will. This is both in the secular and the sacred. That is just simply wrong. The view among Christians that teach that, known as Calvinism, also stresses the sovereignty of God, but I think entirely misunderstands what sovereignty means. Somewhere in eternity past, in the secret counsels of God, according to them, he decided who would be saved and who would be lost. There's nothing man can do to change that. Man does not have a free will. God is sovereign. He will do whatever he wants to do. First, sovereignty is not related to predetermining anything. Nor yet does the Bible teach such a view of predestination. For those interested in further studies on that subject, you might listen to our messages on sermonaudio.com/MECL, messages on predestination and election. So according to this view, how does this sovereignty affect the physical world? Does God make everything happen exactly as he wants? How does this relate to the coronavirus, for example? I read this from John Piper, who is an ardent Calvinist. Jesus said that the minutest event in nature is under the control of God. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father's will, or apart from your Father? Matthew 10:29. He said this to give hope to those who would be killed for his name, end quote. So at least according to Piper, God controls all of what happens in nature. Let me read Matthew 10:28-31. You might want to turn there. We'll get the context. Verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And Piper's quote, the verse is given like this, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. The King James Version says, apart from your Father's will. The word will is not in the original and has been supplied for the purpose of clarification. But the question is, what does it mean that no sparrow falls to the ground without your Father? Is it without the Father's will? Is it without the Father's sovereignty or control? Is it without the Father's predestination? No, we're not told. I personally think it means that no sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing about it. He knows it. When it says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered, does that mean he determines when each hair will fall out? I don't think so. It means God knows about it. If we take it to mean that he has predetermined when each hair will fall out, that can easily lead to fatalism. What's the use anyway? It's going to happen anyway. And that is the farthest from the truth. So we ask, does God control all nature? Should have Sunday school class right now. Well, I do not know if I know the whole answer, but I give my opinion. When God created the heavens and the earth, he put in motion all the laws of the universe. We might call them natural laws or the laws of nature. You see, God created the sun in such a way that it would keep burning. Recently, I saw a picture of the fires of the sun close up. Have you seen this? It's just incredible. Breathtaking, really. If the sun moved a little closer to Earth, true global warming would happen, and we'd all die. If it moved a little too far away, we'd all freeze. God keeps it right where it is and keeps it burning. Those laws all lie in God's control. He makes it do exactly what he wants. I'm asking, what control does God exercise over nature in order to answer if he sent the coronavirus? Well, we can go back to Genesis chapter 3 to begin to answer this question. Turn to it. You see, man's sin affected not only mankind, but all of nature, and the coronavirus comes from what we call nature, unless, of course, it was produced in a lab, as some think. If it was produced in a lab, by the way, it comes from the sinovirus. It's man's sin nature. Well, look at verse 17, which is after God had dealt with Satan regarding leading man into sin. He had also dealt with Eve, and now in verse 17 he addresses Adam. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Note the words, cursed is the ground for your sake. Why did the ground suffer because of man's sin? Why do weeds grow? Why do the things we make break down? Why do we have viruses? Why does animal eat animal? Why do the cells not always do what they should do? Why? Because God cursed the ground. And listen to this. God said, Adam, I cursed the ground for your sake. I did it for you. And we will automatically ask, how can cursing the ground be for man's sake or for his good or his benefit? How can that be? One of the things I have observed over the years has amazed me over and over. Very few, if any, people ever get saved because things are going well. Isn't that amazing? Very few, if any, ever recognize their own need of salvation from sin if everything is going well. I just heard of a Jew who stole something many years ago, some relic, some antique, and now with this coronavirus, he thought it's the end of the world, and he repented of his sin. Didn't become a Christian, but he knew he didn't want to die with this thing he's still carrying, you know. But when some accident occurs, maybe the loss of a loved one or any other tragedy like the Twin Towers going down, all of a sudden God has man's attention. Couldn't get it any other way. Look at the U.S. thriving like never before. Whose attention did he get? All of a sudden, a week later, listen to the news. Watch some of the headlines. They're starting to talk about God. The first thing that comes to mind for many when something like this happens is, oh my God. Why? I have asked this in many places. How many of you realize you needed to be saved because things were going very well? I have never seen a hand yet. Never yet. Then I say, how many of you turned to God in a time of tragedy or something went wrong? You know what is amazing? That's where the hands come. God is able to get at least the attention of some through this. So God said to Adam, Adam, I cursed the ground for your sake, for your betterment, for your good, and included in this curse, coronavirus. There. Turn to Romans 8. Paul touches on this subject here. We begin in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Give me one moment. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That is, saved people. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God subjected nature to futility. And he did it in hope. Hope of what? Hope of delivering it back out of that corruption into the glorious liberty of those who will be saved because of that subjection to futility. Oh, that I might tell you here what is coming. for the Christian at least, it will be glorious for all those who get saved in this time. Then in verse 22, Paul says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit," that's the Christian, "even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." What is this thing for which God cursed the ground and the creation was subjected to futility? The salvation of man. So now I ask, who controls nature? Well, it seems to me that God loosed nature from some of the laws after man sinned, and now we have fierce winds, uncontrollable fires, and water, and earthquakes, and volcanoes, and pestilences, and viruses, of which what we have now is one. And the purpose of those? To turn man back to God. But we ask, does God plan these things? Did God plan the coronavirus and send it? I give my opinion. When God cursed the earth, it would bring about all such things as we are experiencing right now. When man does certain things, it brings about certain other things. For example, by the way, in Italy, all kinds of people are dying. Suspect one of those is because they smoke. This thing gets them. For example, if I smoke cigarettes, through a natural progression, I may get cancer and even die from that. Did God plan for me to die like that? Did he send that? No! I brought it on myself. So it is with many things. If we had not smoked, we might not have gotten cancer and died prematurely. Viruses can start because we might do something that causes them to happen. The laws of a cursed earth do that. We do not know yet how the coronavirus began, but it is most likely through something man did, whether planned or not. A little while ago, a tour boat stopped by a certain volcanic island. While the people went to explore, the volcano erupted and many died. Did God wait for them to get there and then he set the volcano off? No, I don't think so. It was the outcome of a cursed ground. I have heard that there were warnings before that this thing could go off at any time. But let me be quick to say that God can use nature for his purposes. When he does so, it is a miracle. A miracle is when God sets the laws of nature aside and by his own power he brings about what he wants. This happens very seldom. It happened in the flood. It happened when the Lord rained brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. It happened when a big fish swallowed Jonah and later spewed it out. Here's what God said to Israel in 2 Chronicles 7:13 through 14. You know what? They had just set up this beautiful temple and they were dedicating it. And Solomon said, or God said this, right there at the very beginning, 2 Chronicles 7:13, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send coronavirus among my people, pestilence. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Can God send these things? Yes, he can. Let me say further that God can allow Satan to do certain things with nature to kill people. You might wish to read the book of Job to see this. Now, such phenomena as the coronavirus will greatly increase in the tribulation. In Matthew 24, just before Jesus was crucified, he predicted various things that would happen just before the seven-year tribulation begins. And what is happening right now is one of those, and we are right there. We're there. The Lord Jesus is coming very soon. You might wish to read Matthew 24, 3 through 8. What Jesus speaks of there are precursors to the tribulation. They are only the beginning. and we are there now. But there's much more to come. If you read Revelation 6 through 19, you will see a seven-year period filled with many things much worse. Many of those will be miraculous. Yes, God set the laws of nature aside. He can set them aside and do what he wants, and sometimes he does. But mostly, things like the coronavirus happen by natural laws of a sin-cursed earth. But let me come to a final point, and that is God's omniscience. Well, just what is that? Well, it is omni, which means all. You know, pandemic, pan, means all. It's all, and science, which means, what does it mean?
Knowledge.
All knowledge. God has all knowledge. He is omniscience, or omniscience, or he has it. So God, the God of the Bible, and the only God who has actual existence, is an all-knowing God. He knows everything. I want you to listen to a few passages. Listen to this, Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You see, God knows everything. We don't even know yet how many will die from this present thing. God knows everything. God declares the end from the beginning. You know what? He did not say the coronavirus would be the end of the world, so it won't be. You just can rest assured of that. He not only knows what the future holds, but he has shown to his servants all the big things that lie in the future. Let me tell you this, based on the word of God, this earth will never end. It will never end, but it will be renewed. It will be renewed, and God will come and dwell on it with man forever. Read the book of Revelation. That is what it tells us. God has told us many of the bigger things that lie in the future. It is all in the Bible. Today we are seeing a precursor to the tribulation. Then listen to Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Do you know what infinite is? We have a verb that's called an infinitive. No beginning, no end. It's infinite. Well, just how much understanding is infinite understanding? How far does it go? Far enough for us to put all our trust in him. Listen to Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He knows it all. The day is coming. This is the God of the Bible. We are very briefly looking at one, only one of his attributes. There are many more. Then listen to Matthew 10:29-31. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your father's will, or whatever you think this is. I think it's apart from what, from God's knowledge. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. You see, when I comb my hair in the morning and some leave my head, God knows. Isn't that incredible? He knows. I have entrusted my life and my soul to this God. Have you? Now, do you know why Jesus gave those words? He had just told his disciples that they were not to fear those who can kill the body but can't kill the soul. He was forewarning about persecution to come. I think persecution lies before us in North America as well because of the sinovirus that has become a pandemic in America. But Jesus said, they were not to worry about those who can kill the body. Well, listen, if you don't have to worry about those who can kill the body, what do you have to worry about? And why shouldn't we worry? Nothing they can do to my soul. Nothing. Not even Kim Jong-un. Nothing. If we need not fear Godless men, when they threaten to kill us, or when they do, need we fear the coronavirus if it kills us? Oh, we will do what we can to avoid it. But if it should take a believer, for the believer, it is only the beginning of something much better. God is omniscient, you see. When God cursed the ground, he knew what that would bring about. When we do certain things, he knows what that will bring about. It's an interesting thing. When you get older and you watch children or young people and they do this, you know this is going to happen. Well, God knows everything. Maybe someone listening to this message is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe fear has struck because of the present pandemic. Maybe you know what conviction of sin is. Sin is a monster. It is a most horrible and deadly spiritual virus. We all have that virus. It is 100% fatal. We will all die. So the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And having considered this virus in your own life, maybe you say, at time I look for truth about life and death. Well, you can read many books and many opinions, and I challenge you to read the Bible. Compare it to anything else you read. Be honest and compare it. And you will find nothing that compares. I can assure you of that. But maybe you say, I know the God of the Bible is the one true God. I know I am a sinner and I know I am lost. What must I do? Well, I forewarn you. What you must do requires a lifetime decision. It's not till the coronavirus is over. It's not till this present fear goes away. You must never back out of your decision. And if you do, you will be damned twice as much as before. But if you are committed to this, if you are willing to commit your life, the very thing you first thing you must do is repent of your sins. You must repent before God. That is, you must change your mind about all the things you have done that are wrong. This requires confessing known sin and asking forgiveness. If the Lord then points out where we have wronged others and our conscience speaks to us about it, then we must take care of those with other people. And when that is done, then we acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and receive him as our Savior, John 1:12. And from there on, one must live one's life for the Lord. One needs to find a good church, read the Bible, and begin to grow spiritually. And from there, it must be a life of faith. So in conclusion, let me ask, what does it mean that God is sovereign? Well, it means he is supreme ruler of the universe. It does not mean he has foreordained all that will happen and that it will happen no matter what decisions we make. It means there is no one over God. He is sovereign. He is over all. And as the supreme sovereign, he has set out those things that ought to be done and those that ought not to be done by all of mankind. And then he has given us a free will to choose which we will do. And if we do that which he wants for us, we will bring glory to his great name and we will be, we will be fulfilled. You know what? That is what everybody wants, whether they know it or not, to be fulfilled. That's why people go to the bar. That's why they do drugs. They think they'll be fulfilled. But sin is a liar. And if we do what he has set out for us, in the end, when the resurrection day comes, we will stand before him in judgment. And as sovereign God, he will judge each believer, and the believer will receive or lose rewards according to what he has done in life. The lost will receive judgment and punishment according to what each one has done. And all the judgment will be 100% just. Second, what do we mean by God is in control? What is he in control of? Well, he controls the universe. The Son obeys God. All the universe obeys him. But of all the people on earth, he controls only a very small percentage of them. That small percentage are the true Christians. True Christians are not all those who profess to be Christians. True Christians are those who believe right, walk right, do right, and live right, and learn to live right, and learn to live right. When they fail, they repent of their wrongs and move on. But because of sin, God cursed the earth. And now we have things like earthquakes, viruses, volcanoes, and more. And the natural laws, because of the curse of the earth, bring about all these things that cause pain and trouble, things that trouble us, and which things which we, you know what, almost universally, here's a complaint. If God is a good God, why is there so much suffering? This is almost universally. I'll tell you something. If there wasn't suffering, we would all go to hell. That's how it is. That's how we are. We are wicked and evil inside. God has done us this huge favor, and that huge favor we want to say, well, there must not be a God because he is like this. So we say, if there really is a God, and he is a good God, why is there so much suffering? Why famines? Why are there accidents? Why? Well, the answer is no secret. It is because that is one of the only ways God can get man's attention. Watch the headlines. You'll see some of this. And through all these things we view as bad things, some get saved. And if it were not for these bad things, I am fully convinced nobody would get saved. Last, what is God's omniscience? God's omniscience means he knows everything. For believers, this is a huge encouragement. God knows what each one is going through right this moment. The second person of the triune God became man and was tested in all points as we are, and he understands us. He cares for us. He loves the true believer with the love experienced in a personal relationship. The Bible says that. God loves the unbeliever too, but he has no relationship with them, and it's a different love. His love for them is not related to feelings. It is related to truth and righteousness. And in his love for them, he sent Christ to die for them. That is his love for them. That is agape love. But he has no relationship with them. He desires for them to be saved so that he can love them by having a personal relationship with them. The unbeliever is right outside of the love of God. If he dies without repenting, that very moment he goes to hell. Oh, this message just really doesn't come through to us very well, does it? If he lives until the tribulation starts, he will experience the wrath of God. He is no friend of God. But if such a person repents and puts his faith in Jesus Christ, that very moment he will experience a relationship with the Lord. We are in need of an awakening. Can such things as we have right now bring man to repentance and faith? Yes, it can. And may it do so for many. Are you praying for the coronavirus to end? Why not change your prayer? That's why we pray. Oh, Lord God, bring this thing to an end. Ask, this is what I would encourage. Ask that the Lord may get the attention of many among a world of lost sinners. Ask that God might be able to remove the blindness Satan has been using to keep them lost through this. I heard of one person, I don't know if I can tell it the way it was said, but he went to Sunday school all his life, but he never learned as much out of Sunday school as he learned out of this coronavirus. You know why that is? In all of Sunday school, he didn't have his ears open. He couldn't hear. It's not that the truth may not have been there. He couldn't hear. All of a sudden, he can hear. Some tragedy strikes, and all of a sudden, we have ears to hear. And without the tragedy, no ears. So ask that for which God cursed the ground might happen, and that many would get to see how sinful they are and where they will go if they die. Then, are you a Christian and you are caught in the grip of fear? That means you cannot trust the God who knows everything. If you are a believer, he not only knows all about you, he loves you with a love the unbeliever knows nothing about. He cares for you. If the coronavirus or any other thing should take your life, and someday something will, he is waiting for you. He's waiting. Do you know what? Your chance of dying in a car accident is far bigger than this thing. Or the flu, for that matter. Are you afraid to drive on the highway now because you know your chance of dying is higher? But we're scared of this thing. That God knows everything does not assure us we won't die. It means he knows all about it and he cares. He longs to have, listen, if you are a true believer, he longs to have you in glory. Here's what the Bible says. Precious in the sight of the Lord, can anybody finish? Is the death of his saints. It's precious. They're coming home. Put your entire trust in him. And when you find yourself fretting, say, I'm sorry, Lord, I was going to trust you, and now I'm trusting in myself. You know why we worry? Because we trust in ourselves and our resources have run out. God's resources don't run out, even if we die. I'm sorry, Lord, I was going to trust you. Now I'm trusting in myself, and I'm out of resources. Forgive me. Once more, I place my trust in you. I pray that you may be glorified, whether it be by my life or by my death. I entrust myself to you, the one who knows everything.